The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is written in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the fourth Sunday in Advent is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The words of the sermon for this final Sunday in Advent come from the former Reverend Chad Bird, a confessional Lutheran pastor and professor at Concordia Theological Seminary at one point in his life, who has also penned a couple of the blessed hymns that are in our service book. His words repeated to you today to reveal a different voice of law, gospel, preaching. The Reverend Bird proclaimed, "John the Baptist is uncivilized. With locust legs stuck between his teeth, he'll never rank on Miss Manners' top 10 list. With hair untouched by scissors, he'll never be hired by a Fortune 500 company. And with a wardrobe consisting of camel's hair, he'll never make the cover of GQ magazine. Indeed, John is uncivilized. He makes you uncomfortable, doesn't he? He's the kind of person you think you have to make apologies for. Oh yes, John, he's a bit eccentric, a little off the wall, not the run-of-the-mill biblical figure. You just have to look past a few things, that's all. I'm sure deep down he's a very normal person, but to twist an old country song, mamas don't want their babies to grow up to be John the Baptist. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Why does John make you uncomfortable? You know. It's not just the clothing. It's not only the hair. It's not even really the diet of locusts. John is uncivilized. That's the problem. He doesn't live in an air-conditioned three-bedroom house with a white picket fence and a two-car garage. He didn't marry his high school sweetheart and raise two lovely children. He doesn't buy his clothes at Macy's, Nordstrom's, Target, Walmart, nor the Goodwill, nor his groceries at the local supermarket. John doesn't even hold down a job. Turning his back on both city and village, John lives in the wilderness of the desert. The Judean wild country is his unwalled bedroom. Although entitled to the priesthood because of his being the firstborn from a priest, Zechariah, John's temple, however, is the desert. And his altar, the Jordan River. His vestments, animal hides. Although he is the culmination of the Old Testament prophets, and as Jesus said, the greatest man ever born of a woman, John spits in the face of flattery, deeming himself unworthy to even touch the laces of the Messiah's sandals with his sinful fingers. John is everything that civilized sinners don't want to be. Who are you, John? That's what the civilized priests and Levites want to know. I am not the Christ, John emphatically answers. What then, are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? Humble John has nothing to say about himself. But thankfully, the prophet Isaiah has already spoken for him. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John is the forerunner, the one who trots ahead of the Messiah to announce his coming. He is the Advent man, the preacher who prepares you for Christ, and not just Christ at Christmas, but prepared for Christ as the church year brings you to live through Christ's life for you. John is what the psychiatrist would call a monomaniac, which is someone with an excessive interest or irrational preoccupation with one subject. John is a monomaniac about Christ, and that fits him to a T. Who are you, John? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight or prepare the way of the Lord, which is, by the way, what this beautiful Advent parament so rightfully displays in Latin, prepare the way of the Lord. Why in the wilderness, John? What's so important about the desert? Why not build a church in the civilized section of the country? Or at least erect a pulpit on the street corner. Good grief, John. Why not just get a half an hour of religious TV broadcasting so that we could sit in our living room, in our recliners, and ponder your message? Why are you preparing us and making us travel out into the wilderness? But John the Baptist is unrelenting. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John beckons you away from that place called civilization, where civilized sinners are all too easily duped by the demons into believing the lie. Leave that place where you are so easily tricked into believing that your job is your life, your family is your life, your possessions are your life. Leave that place where trivial pursuit is not just a game, but a way of life, where the art of survival trumps God's objective truth. Leave that place where death masquerades as life, where the person who is living it up has made pleasure into a god, where the person who is said to have lived a full life may have never been baptized, where real life has nothing to do with Christ, but just getting by in a dog-eat-dog world. Leave that place where people think they have civilized sin, but where, in fact, sin has transformed them into savages at heart. There is part of you that is uncomfortable with, no, hates John the Baptist. The ugly old Adam in you hates to be stripped naked and made to stand ashamed in front of the mirror of the law. So he, your old Adam, loathes John. John lays bare how comfortable you have become with your love of mammon, how adept you are at blaming others for your shortcomings, how easy you are on yourselves. John's or any preacher's sandpaper words are much too abrasive for your civilized hearts. His preaching grates on your modern sensitivities. But John will preach no Walt Disney version of the law, nor should any true preacher. John is calling you to repentance, that you might escape from the coming wrath. So John beckons you out of civilization into the wilderness of repentance, to a life of repentance. To live a life of repentance is to sit at John's feet in the desert sand. And what do you see in this wilderness of repentance? Barrenness stares blankly at you. The hollow eye of death peers into your soul. When you are brought to St. John in the desert, into the painful stillness, where you are utterly alone with the law of God, there your eyes behold with clarity the desert of your own heart, filled only with the wild monsters of your sins. Sit in the dust of this wilderness, pick up a handful of dirt, and watch it trickle between your fingers. Behold your origin and your end. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There in the wilderness of repentance, where the pride of life is absent and the humility of death pervasive, there, by the grace of God, be brought to confess and repent. John calls you into the wilderness, into the barren desert, where the only life is where there is water. St. John the Baptist, he is called. He is the water man. John beckons you out of the civilization of sin into the wilderness of repentance to lead you ultimately to the river of life. And once he's gotten you to the water, he's done his job. For there, standing in the oasis of the font, is your Savior, Jesus Christ. John points and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Behold the Lamb of God who gives you the life of absolution in the water of holy baptism." Ever since the day John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, our Lord has been found in the water. He locates himself there for you. Flowing through the desert of repentance is this liquid of life. There, your conscience, which burns with the heat of sins committed, is delivered the soothing coolness of sins forgiven. There, your heart, which is dried and cracked under the blazing sun of the law, is delivered the shade and refreshment in the shadow of the cross. There, your mouth, which is parched from the confession of sins, is filled with the sweet drink of the compassion of God. Our Lord is found in the river of absolution. By the grace of God, be drawn to drink of him. Bathe, swim, and soak in this fountain of immortality. Your Lord has been baptized in blood, sprinkled on the front of the cross by his own cut veins. The soldier braced himself and thrust his cruel spear upward into the side of our already blood-bathed God. That spear opened the fountain of his flesh, and out flowed a river of blood and water, one fork filling the chalice, the other the font. So when you desire forgiveness, you go to the blood. For without blood, there is no forgiveness. The life of God is in the blood of his Son. And that life-giving blood is in the chalice, in the font, in the absolution. Go there for forgiveness. Go there for life. Go there for God. Regardless of what the world, your old Adam, and the devil whisper to you, the only true and lasting life is in the wilderness of repentance, for there alone flows the Jordan River. Only in the water to which Christ has attached himself is there life. There, which is here, the penitents truly live it up, have the full life, and live the real life in Christ Jesus. Here, the trivial is not pursued, but the eternal is delivered. Here, the shame of sins is removed by the name of the forgiving one. Here, uncivilized John places you into Christ's keeping, where Christ makes you and keeps you citizens of the heavenly fatherland. O come, Emmanuel, indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.